Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Supercoach podcast. You're on once again with Cheezo. Dusty's out for the season. Stringer and Mundy re-sign. I don't know which one I'm more excited about. And I've got Darcy Parrish's Future Force signature card arrive in the mail. But that's not the best thing that happened this week. I got to sit down with my man, Pistol. How are you, champion? Talk to me.
No. Cheezo, you're being modest. That's not the best thing that happened this week. Tell us about your unbelievable Supercoach week. You've just tell us how did you go from the get-go. Firstly, how did you score? Where did you rank for the week? And then just walk us through how it went.
I didn't think we'd start this early. Second for round 18, which was nice. 2.664. I needed 100 and I think we worked out 134 or 135 from Jelly in the last game to take first place and take the 2K home. But obviously the little ankle tweak saw him sub just after halftime and missed out on it. But that's okay. I'm just keen to use my my little voucher at KFC next door to work. So that's just as good, I feel.
Cheezo, firstly, you copped a Darcy knock in the first game as your VC.
Yep.
And then you cop another knock to stop you from winning the weekly.
Yep.
And after all of this, you're still all really high and happy, which is nice to see. And you're into 23rd place overall.
Yes, welcome to the Cheezo episode where there'll be no Supercoach content. Yeah, look, it's great to be in this position. Like, when the final game was on, I couldn't watch it. I had to sit down and watch something else on TV with Mrs. Cheezo just because I didn't want to get my hopes up and have them dashed like this. Like, if I'd watched the first half and then seeing Jelly do his ankle rather than just reading about it later on, I would have been a lot more disappointed. But that's the thing with this game. There's a lot of people getting thrown some really difficult hands that they've got to deal with, multiple isolations and injuries and things like that, and they've already run out of trade. So I'm just thankful to be in this position and to be having a strong year. So just take it as it comes, and that's going to be the same this week. So, Pistol, how was your round?
It's funny, where we entered on the final day and I said to you, hey, we've got all the same players remaining, except I have Grundy as captain. You didn't have Grundy at all, and my lowest scoring player was Grundy.
Yeah, unlucky.
Who I captained, but I still finished with a strong 2.449. I moved up slightly in ranks to 126th overall. So we have a combined rank of, below 150 between the
That's
two
nice.
Of us, which is quite unbelievable. And, it's certainly the best that we've ever done, I guess, as a combined pair. So we're a little bit up and about, but probably not up and about as the huge amount of people that we have patrons within the top 200. 58 people at the moment are in the top 200 that are also patrons of Dr. Supercoach. So absolutely, mammoth effort from the community. And yeah, I can't wait to see how this season plays out, the rest of it at least.
It's sort of frustrating. Like, I'm happy that I'm 23rd overall, but I'm 13th in the Patreon group. That's just stupid. I don't like this game. We need to make like a I need to sign up somewhere else. Speaking of Patreon, nice little segue there from you, Pistol. We do have another sign up this week. It's Just Alex. Thanks for jumping on board the Patreon.
Oh, I love the Justs. It's so good.
Same.
Thank you,
Alex. I love that that's just catching on the more we go along. Pistol, so we've also had round four of the Dr. Supercoach Cup. Only 32 teams remaining. There's only one podcaster left. Pistol, a 2400 couldn't save you.
Chizo, it's the Chizo show. I know we can't be Pistol every week. This one's dedicated to you. So look, I don't think anyone was going to be knocking you out last week unless you happened to come against the weekly prize winner. That would have been very unfortunate. So you got to take it. You're probably favorite now with your form.
Oh, don't put that on me.
I'll put the Moz on.
There's at least 13 people better in Patreon. Look, in honour of what happened with the South Australian AFL teams this week, first JB was going to be on the podcast and he wasn't going to be on the pass, and then he was and he's not. So just in solidarity with those guys being forced into to Victoria to kind of train and play, we've also done that with JB. He's having the night off and just chilling. So we haven't forgotten about you, mate. We do have some Cancer Council donations as well, Pistol.
We do. We have a couple, which is quite exciting. No surprises, though, given the COVID situation. First up, we have a very generous donation by Gunnar. I'm not going to read out the paragraph. It's a funny story. But to summarize, he had to choose last week between trading in Jelly or Walsh. I still don't understand the reason you would choose Jelly over Walsh in that scenario, given their recent fall and Jelly's previous ankle.
Whoa.
But that's not the point. Walsh obviously are 193, so it's a sizable donation, which we very much appreciate. So thank you very much, Gunnar. Gibbo says, just your run of the mills donut, which is pretty funny. Appreciate the donation, Gibbo. And apologies, it's going to be a bit rough now, dropping to 11th place, trying to chase the 50K is just that little bit harder when you cop mills as well. Sydney's donated for dumb things, except he kept reversing the trades and left the VC on danger. He said it worked out, but it's still dumb. So he said also donating on behalf of Gladys for, you know, COVID donuts. So
yep.
Thank you to Sydney. Clint White says, I live in Scotland. I think this is our first ever donation from Scotland, so I'm pretty excited by this. Thank you, Clint. I was all set to do
Can Langford. Can you read it in a Scottish accent, please?
I knew you were going to say that and definitely not going to do that. I did actually practice before the pod just in case you asked.
Oh, wait, I thought you said you never read these.
It didn't go well. Exposed. No, I saw the Scotland. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? So I was very excited. He said, I was all set to do Langford to Marshall, but waiting to hear the late outs due to Marshall's injury history, I checked the AFL app and the Saints game was listed at 10:25 a.m. my time on Saturday when I went to bed Friday night. I woke up at 7 a.m. on Saturday to discover Marshall had already played as the game had been moved to a different time slot. Instead, I had to trade in DeGoey, so I'm donating the difference in points in pounds this week. I love this campaign. Keep going for 20K. And this is hilarious because now we know that Marshall is not going to play this week, and DeGoey did. Mm. So he's donated for dumb things, but it's actually worked out in like genius fashion. So this is it's like good karma to Clint, so I appreciate the donation there. I don't think anyone's ever donated for a game-changing time slot and just messing the game entirely. So only COVID can affect that. Romper donates for a couple of forward line donuts, but he was able to eke out a 2-point victory in Rivalry League, which was very important. Thank you, Romper. Schnitz says, had a bet on my man Track, but he couldn't get past Clary's rhymes. I'm not going to read it out. Thank you, Schnitz, for the donation. And ZP has done a Mills donation for a donut, and he lost the cup by 1 point as well.
That's
so
rough.
If Mills had played, would have got through. So thank you very much to ZP Peanut. We appreciate you very much. So that's all the donations for this week, Chizo.
Yeah, lots of things going on. I'm just trying to think. What's just started this week, that big multi-sports festival?
The Olympic Games. I feel like I'm being baited, like a classic JB baiting me into talking about Stringer.
That's right, Pistol. The Olympics. What's all these Olympians mean? Treat their body like royalty, and so can you with the gold medal quality lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped, who have sponsored the podcast. Once again, thank you to Manscaped. They've got the Manscaped doing the Performance Package 3.0, and it's here to get you ready for the back end of the AFL season, Pistol, to look after those Sharons. In the Performance Package, you do get the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver, which is deodorant for the nether regions, Crop Reviver toner, plus two free gifts. You get the Performance Boxer Briefs, which I can genuinely say I wear all the time, and the Shed Travel Bag, which is fantastic. If you use code DRSC, you'll get 20% off and free shipping. In that, you'll also get the Lawnmower 3.0, a 7,000 RPM motor, clutch LED light, more precise than Sam Walsh in a pocket late in the fourth quarter. Just fantastic technology, something that we're very proud that sponsors the podcast. So thank you once again for Manscaped. 20% off and free shipping using code DRSC, manscaped.com. Thanks again. Pistol, let's get into some of the big talking topics. I guess the biggest one that I think is affecting a lot of people this week, over 70% of the competition owning Dusty. He's now confirmed out for the season with that kidney laceration. Talk to me with your initial thoughts on what might be our moves for Dusty, considering that he hasn't been going great guns of late and he's slightly underpriced what he might usually be, and that's going to limit our options.
So, for starters, I walked into that one and I was pissing myself laughing and then tried to take water to stop laughing, and then I started choking on it, and I think you could hear the cough in the background. So the whole... I was a mess. I'm glad I didn't have to talk for like 2 minutes. It was a disaster on my end. I completely was blindsided there. So, again,
you thought it was an outtake and that was part of my plan.
Yeah, no, I had no idea what was happening. So, yeah, no, you got me there. So, well done. Dustin Martin, big trade out, obviously. 3 months, they said that he couldn't have any contact. So, that's huge. There's a lot of solid options, I think, in the forward line. Maybe not solid because they're not your first choice, but solid enough to get through the end of the season. I think if we start at the, I'll call it cheapest viable option, and that's probably Bolton, 420K. Now, I think people might be a bit worried that without Dusty, they might have a Richmond that we're not quite familiar with. One that might lose many games. I mean, we know they're fighting for their spot in finals, but without Dusty, it could be a whole new ballpark. And the worry there would be that they just fall away. And, you know, if they're going to fall away, why would we want to be investing in their assets? So I think that's the risk. But on the other hand, Chizo, the upside is someone has to fill that Dusty void. Someone has to be playing full-time mid, winning them the game, being electric, you know, the game changer. And you know what? If you have to pick someone from the Richmond list to do that, it's probably Bolton.
Yeah, and particularly in the round just gone, we saw him get that extra time up the ground that he'd probably been lacking from the fortnight to 3 weeks previously, when he was averaging around the 105 mark. So I think what I saw on the weekend, he passed the eye test from me, whereas in the previous weeks he didn't. With Dusty gone down, a lot of people are concerned, what if they throw Bolton forward to replace that Dusty role, because he was playing mostly forward. I can see that, but I just feel like with Dusty gone, they can't rely on him as much being a focal point up forward. They can kind of move some pieces around to get a forward line together, but without Dusty there spending a lot of centre bounce rotations and pushing forward, they need to fill that spot first and foremost. And I think that Bolton has already shown this year that's kind of his role for the taking when he's not, you know, suffering with that wrist injury as well. So I'm not necessarily worried, just to kind of cover all that off. I don't see him suddenly returning to a forward pocket. That's something that you might see an older Melbourne team when they're trying to get Tom Scully in the draft. I don't think I see that from Richmond this year when they're literally like percentage out of the eight.
I mean, I didn't have that much money in the bank and I will be getting Bolton. So I definitely endorse the pick. I'll be selecting him myself. Again, I don't have that many options available to me, but I guess some other options that are available are 432K. Taron Thomas has put in a string of good performances. I feel like we've seen this earlier in the season, Chizo. We flagged him for, what is it, like 7 weeks ago, we're like, hey, he looks really good. But he's going to be a fantastic player. At some point, he's going to be super coach relevant. I don't think he's going to be, you know, top six defender, sorry, forward from here on out.
Yeah.
He's just going to play well when North Melbourne do well because he's a good player, but he's not going to be a consistent performer week in, week out. So
true.
It's probably a little bit of a pass. Yeah, there for me.
He has the 70s and 80s and 90s, but what you got to remember is he played predominantly midfield on the weekend against the Bombers, which he looked great, particularly in the first half. They didn't have Ben Cunnington. They needed to throw someone into the midfield that, you know, they resisted putting Zeeble up there, much to our delight. He actually continued off the halfback. And it looks like, you know, maybe in 12 months' time, he's going to be a consistent centre bounce rotation. And that's kind of what he was drafted for a few years ago. That's sort of his pedigree, really silky midfielder. I think as soon as Ben Cunnington comes back in, I think he was just out. He's just going to be out for the 1 week. It's just going to force Taron Thomas back out of being a first rotation set of bounce midfielder. And that's just going to be enough to bring him back to that 70, 80, 90 range rather than being a 100 plus, I think. Pistol, in terms of, you know, you've got $100 on top of Dusty, they're probably the two that are cheaper than him that kind of stand out to us.
I got one. Oh wait, no, actually, I don't have any more. Never mind. Continue.
You don't have any more. I was going
to
say
no. I have no more to that price that I'd look at.
People that don't like, they might already have Shea Bolton. There's 10% at teams. We're not super crash hot on Taron Thomas. There aren't a massive amount of options. It really is going to depend how much cash you have. Let me throw you a scenario. And that's going to indicate, it's going to kind of explain why we're not saying just get, you know, X or, you know, just get Zorko. You know, we're assuming that people aren't sitting with a complete side with 80K sitting in the bench. Let's say you've got a situation where you've got Dustin Martin and Rowan Marshall, and you've got a couple trades there and a little bit of cash, and it's going to allow, you know, maybe you go down to Bolton, and that extra 25K you make from Dusty allows, from Marshall, that's going to allow you to get up to someone like a Bailey Dale with that extra cash. It's going to let you get to someone like, it's probably almost going to let you get to Jordan Ngoi, for example. If you could get Bolton and Jordan Ngoi for Marshall and Dusty, that seems like a nice scenario, right? But let's say even with that, you don't have enough cash to get anyone sort of worthwhile. Talk to me how you're kind of weighing up the potential of having a, you know, say a donut in your forward line, say you don't have any cover. You got two trades, you got Dusty, you've got Marshall. Are you copping Marshall just for 1 week because that trade is more precious? Talk to me how you kind of rationalize that.
Yeah, I feel like that was a really long question, but yeah, I'll go with
just painting the scene.
I feel like, yeah, if any one of these COVID, maybe not Dunkley, because I think he might miss potentially 2 weeks, but any 1 week COVID person, I'm going to call them, I would be holding because you know it's like a guaranteed comeback the next
week. Don't call
week.
It a comeback.
Whereas if I were to cop an injury, for example, this week, such as Dusty's up for the season, and that would be 4 weeks or 5 weeks of me missing them. So they're the ones that I want to really save my precious single last trade for rather than somebody that's only going to miss one more round. So that's kind of the strategy that I'll take into it. And if I have to cop a donut for that reason, I mean, I guess so be it. But closer to the end of the year, that mindset will change because, you know, you can do a bit of a risk reward of, you know, if are you really going to cop an injury in the last round or the second last round? We're still a little bit far out and the COVID situation is changing so rapidly that this isn't going to be the last time that I cop an injury or cop someone that's going to be out because of COVID protocols. So I don't want to spend my last trade this week if I can avoid it. I would pretty much do anything to avoid that situation. I'm glad you didn't ask me who I'd want outside of those two players under that price point because you're really looking in dodgy sort of places. Like you're getting close to like, I don't know, Jamie Elliott or Heaney or Blakey or even Rusko, Daniel Rioli, these players are all really dodgy. I mean, I named players that are now playing off the back line in Rioli and Rusko, but you can't have any sort of confidence with these types of players, and they're not people that I would look to trade in if I could avoid it at all costs. So, yeah, I think Chizo, if you don't mind indulging me for a moment just to talk about some of the higher price players that people might be looking in. And I think we need to start with, and I'll get your take on it first, is good old Buddy Franklin.
You love him. There's a saying. There's a saying in Supercoach parlance that Tom Rockliffe and Buddy Franklin enter Pistol side at least once a year. Is that going to be the case again? If we get a free trade because of fixtures and stuff moving, can we basically rest assured that it's going to be a Buddy Franklin into your side?
You know what? I actually can't afford him. There's only 7K difference between Dusty and him, and I don't have 7K.
Yeah,
so
that's tough.
I don't have to get tempted this year. Even though I would be very, very tempted to get him. The run home for Swans, and they just look incredible. He has to be a viable pick.
Absolutely.
Like he just has to be.
This is something that you picked up on, you know, a number of weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say. I think it was on the back of the buys,
Buddy
somewhere
bias
around there. Yeah. Where this is the thing. We know Buddy is going to score well when he plays. If he only kicks one or two goals, he's going to turn up. That's the type of player he is. The thing is for me is he's just another one of those. It has a little bit of inherent risk to it, but I guess at this end of the season, if you have such minimal options and you can get to him in one trade, maybe you've already got Bolton and you don't like the look of Tarryn Torres or someone like that. It just seems like a no-brainer. Like, if that's as we always say, if this is the aisle that you're shopping in Audi with, this is what you're shopping with. You know, there's no problem with that. And he's probably going to score well. He's probably going to be scoring better than a number of the other players that are priced higher than him. So I don't certainly have a problem with him whatsoever.
I think he'll still average maybe 90, maybe just shy of 90 on the run home. Maybe he could have one of those massive Buddy, 10-goal performances and put out a 160, and that might, boost up his average. But, for me, Tom Hawkins is a similar price and just feels a lot safer than him, especially with the likely scenario that they play a lot of games at Cardinia Park on the run home, you'd think. Mm. So, with all the fixture venues changing and everything. So I like Hawkins more than I like Buddy for this reason. I don't really know which venues Buddy will play at or if he's going to be. Yeah, there's just like a little. It's almost the same, but I just prefer Hawkins a little bit more. So that's kind of the way that I would lean between them. I think the conversation gets really interesting when you can start to afford higher priced players. I mean, I don't particularly want to talk about Smith or Hines. I think they're just a little bit below the level of other players that I want to talk about. But when you're starting to talk about Dale, Stringer and Dugowie, I'm interested to see, well, to hear, because I can't see, your thoughts on which one of these three you kind of lean towards, or maybe what scenarios you might lean towards them.
Oh, it's a tough question.
That's why I asked you, the guy in 23rd.
This is something that put more pressure on me. I think Dale's
what
just
try and do.
Dale's just going to be a safe 95, and that's kind of the ceiling. There's no sudden last five round of the season he's going to go 105 and be a game changer. The Stringers and the Dugowies, with the roles that they have, playing midfield, centre bounce rotation, and trying to kick four goals a game, it can't last forever. But I think the difference between the way that Essendon is playing Stringer and the way that Collingwood is playing Dugowie is primarily that Dugowie is no longer... He rests forward, but he's a full-time mid since Harvey's walked in. I don't know if this was... He was being held back by Bucks, and Bucks just rated him as a forward and said, no, we need you here, and maybe Harvey's let him off the leash. But there's been a clear and precise role change from being a lead-up forward in the Heaney type to being a centre-bounce rotation, which has forced Steele Sidebottom to basically be non-existent in the terms of Supercoach in the last, probably 3 weeks to a month. So I'm leaning towards the Dugowie side because that role is more sustainable than what Jake Stringer is. All it needs is just Essendon to get walloped in one game, and Stringer suddenly doesn't have the 20-plus touches and kick three goals, whereas Dugowie is definitely just playing as a mid, which is more reproducible for me in my mind.
I mean, Stringer was on like 40 at three-quarter time and then kicked three goals or whatever it was in the last quarter to win the game and
exactly
finished on 108.
Yep.
So I get that he's that type of player that can do that, but again, that is such a, you know, there's such high variation in that and in his scores as well. It's just he's worse than the other two picks for me quite clearly as well. I think Dale and Dugowie is a closer conversation. I agree that Dale is more of that 95 type player. I mean, he's only had 5 tons for the whole season so far, and Dugowie's also had 5 tons, but he's had 4 in a row
yeah,
at the moment.
And not small
since
ones
Harvey's
either.
Come in. No, all 114 or more. So when I see that, I just think, well, what are you paying for here? You're paying for the safety of Dale's 95s, or you're paying for potentially 110 plus from Dugowie. And I'm like, well, in my mind, I may as well just gamble. I may as well. It's only 5 weeks. I'll gamble it. There is every possibility. Dugowie is an incredibly injury-prone player as well. I don't think Dale is. I think Dale will play every game for the rest of the season and be totally fine.
Yep.
Dugowie's probably more of a injury risk, a court case risk, a COVID risk. He's probably all the more risks than Dale, but he's also got way higher upside. I mean, if he puts out like a 150 plus in the run home, I wouldn't be shocked at all. He's got that potential, and I don't really see that in Dale. So if you're picking the upside pick, it's Dugowie. Nothing has changed from last week when I thought he was the best replacement for Langford. I think he's now still the best replacement for Dusty, but you just have to pay a lot more for him. And yeah, those that got him in would be stoked. So you get a full-time midfielder. He might not score super well if our midfield gets completely decimated, which might happen this week against Port Adelaide or Brisbane. But the other three games, I expect him to do well, you know, 110 plus in. So if you're going to have 3 games that my expected score is 110 plus, he can probably have 2 poorer games, I guess, and still average 100 on the way home and be okay. So yeah, in my mind, I think that's my order would be, Dugowie number 1 and Dale number 2.
Yeah, I guess if you take this is something that we've learnt throughout the year. You know, how many people at the start of the year would have considered having Aaron Hall in their side? And, you know, a lot of people, whether it's through ignorance or burying their head in the sand or just don't want to go through that pain again, like a lot of us have 5 years previous, didn't want to pick him in. And you know, it takes the approach you need to take to Supercoach is one of being able to recognize when something has changed. It's not as simple as saying, oh, Jordan Dugowie is, or Jake Stringer is a burn man and he's playing the wrong role. If you're actually watching the game and you take note of what has changed, there's nothing wrong with admitting that.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, your belief beforehand is no longer the case. So I don't want anyone, you know, sitting back and saying, oh, it's Bailey Dale all the way. If the names were taken away, you've got someone that's priced at 95, is averaging 95, or you've got someone that has a role change, is priced at 95, but since that role change is going 115 plus, names or not, I think is the answer would be very clear in, you know, a very passionlessness kind of approach to picking those kind of players. That's not to say that Jordan Dugowie doesn't have those inherent risks that you've talked about, Pistol. I think it's just important to touch upon that the reasons that a lot of top coaches tend to do well is they take their feelings about someone in terms of, oh, I don't like this guy, or, you know, it was a hard thing for me to learn, sort of, Pistol. I don't know if you've ever gone through this. I used to pick Gary Ablett over Swan a lot of the times just out of pure because I liked Gary Ablett Jr. more, you know, and there was always the talk about, oh, who's better between the two. And that was like my innate way of supporting that side of the argument. But that's the kind of thing that can't come into Supercoach. You've just got to pick the right what the numbers are dictating for you. I don't know if that resonates with you or not. I know you are a computer and a emotionless anyway, so but there may be someone out there that applies to.
All right. I think we might move on from Dusty and just talk about potentially, we don't really know for certain what is going to happen with Josh Kelly. We will operate generally under the assumption that he's going to, you know, pass a fitness test and be fine, as that's the last information that we've heard. But just in case he's not named tomorrow or whenever this podcast drops today, I think maybe we should just touch on some of the options that are closer to price. Same as Dusty, we're not going to talk about like the Zorko equivalent of the midfield. I'm not going to jump in here and tell you, hey, you should consider Darcy Parrish. Like, that's not what I'm going to do. Some of the cheaper options, Chizo, I might get you to pick a couple. I'm going to throw two at you at least to compare the pair.
Yeah, sure.
Ollie Wines, now 3-round average of 125, 5-round of 115. He's basically put together tons every week for like the last 8 weeks or something like that. So he is clearly a man that's informed, but he comes in at the same price as Lachie Neale, 575K. Neale obviously has been a bit injury prone, had a stinger during the week. They said he's fine and he'll play, and we know what his upside is. Mm. If you had to pick one of them, who do you like?
It's a great question. Just to clarify, Jelly is 556K. So we're extending to the mid 570. So if you've got 20 or 30K in the bank, and look, it's only 5 extra K to group Jared Lyons in it. So let's talk about this little bracket we've got here. Sure. There's a 10K difference between Lachie Neale, Clayton Oliver, Ollie Wines, and Jared Lyons. All of them are genuinely good options. I'd probably... this is tough. I'd probably link them in this kind of order. I think Lachie Neale would be my last select, and he's fourth out of the quad that we've got there. Just because
injury risk or?
Injury risk, not having a great year, he's getting beaten around, probably had enough, just wants to get to the end of the season, just so he can present Sam Walsh with his Brownlow and just move on with his life and just tackle 2022. And then genuinely with the other three, You're not going to be disappointed with who you buy. Honestly, I think that Jared Lyons has been impacted slightly with Lachie Neale's return. I should mention that Lachie Neale had a stinger during the week, and he's for all reports he's going to be fine, so not to worry. Jared Lyons' ceiling has been impacted just a little bit since Lachie Neale has been back, and that's something to consider. So between Ollie Wines and Clayton Oliver, for me, if you didn't have Clayton Oliver and he's the same price as Ollie Wines, I think that's such a low-risk option getting Oliver. But the upside of how Ollie Wines has been playing, he's just a man possessed when you're watching Port Adelaide play.
They got a great draw as well.
A great draw. And Oliver and Gawn combine for so many points. And I just feel like Wines is kind of just doing his own thing. Like, he's not reliant on being spoon-fed the ball. You can't walk up to the start of the game and Clayton Oliver knows he's going to get at least 5 hit-outs to advantage that game that he can run away with and not have to worry about it. So I think that the safe option is Oliver. If you don't have him, I think that would be a bit of a no-brainer. But if you have Clayton Oliver and you're looking at that price bracket, Ollie Wines of the remaining options for me, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I like what you're saying. I think Wines is just in such amazing form. I'd probably also pick Oliver. I mean, how boring are we just picking Oliver in that one? But I think that's probably the way to go about it. Chizo, I think if you're trying to shop a little bit cheaper, so let's say same price almost.
Yeah.
We've got some players probably to talk about here. Luke Parker, 3-round average of 118, 5-round of 111. Probably Taylor Adams, 3-round of 110, 5-round of 106. Mm-hmm. Andy Brayshaw, 107, 3-round average, 5-round of 105. And I guess Luke Dunstan, 107, 3-round, 107, 5-round. They're probably the guys that are at the equivalent type of price.
Yeah.
Which one would you pick out of them? It's probably a better question.
Oh, that's tough. I think it's as you get further and further down the pecking order, it becomes less clear. The waters become a little bit more muddy. There's less certainty around them. They're all kind of priced at this 105 sort of range because that's sort of their upside. You know, we're picking a lot of these guys, and if they're going to exceed 105 on the way home, that's pretty much just because of form. And, you know, it's just you're catching the purple patch, the lightning at the bottle at the end of the season, which I guess is what we want. Grouped into the same sort of price would be Travis Boak, but he, I would probably not be looking at him just because of how cold his second half of the year has been.
Yep.
Been hot and cold. Luke Dunstan, I have absolutely no faith in because 3 weeks ago he was playing VFL. And even though he's been playing fantastically, and he looks to have finally had that switch flicked in the way that he approaches the ball in AFL, I've actually, in terms of the eye test, I've actually liked watching him for the Saints in the last few weeks. You can't put any trust with your last trade on the way home, getting rid of Josh Kelly, for example, for a Luke Dunstan. I couldn't live on myself to do that. Luke Parker has done it before. He's rolled gold. You're just going to get 105 to 110 from him all the time for, you know, the last 5 years or so. So he would probably be my pick of that sort of bunch. Andy Brayshaw, obviously not bad either. But I think that the form that Parker's been in the last couple of weeks, we're hoping, because Sydney do have also quite a good run to end the year, that continues. Probably not a lot of travel going on. The Swans will be relatively close to home, you would hope. So I think he's one that I like the most kind of around that price range.
Yeah, I'm in alignment there. Parker's had 10 tons this season. He's actually only had one poor score this entire season of a 69 in round five. But since round six, you know, he's only sub-ton four times, and one of them was an 85, his lowest one. So he's just been chipping away and scoring well. And with a solid run home, I would expect nothing less than 105, 110 plus average, maybe more if you're lucky. So I think he's the standout. I know Taylor Adams wasn't spoken about that much, but I wouldn't trust Collingwood.
At 480, around 484K, you can get Cam Guthrie.
He's the cheapest option that I was going to mention, but spoilers.
Yeah.
Yep.
That 40's helped him out.
Do you like him more than any of the other ones we've mentioned?
I think he... Look, he plays... He's obviously scored much better without Dangerfield in the side. There's absolutely no denying that. He's had a slow, I want to say, 6 to 8 weeks from memory, where he's only tonned a couple of times. I think compared to all the other guys that we're picking between, I think they're all kind of the upside of 105. That's kind of what we're expecting from them. Cam Guthrie is the only one under Jelly's price that has an extended history. The first 9 rounds of the season, he was averaging 122. You know, it took until round 10 to just dip below 120 at 119.8. And then he's had that shoulder stinger. I think he went off for 40 or something like that, if I remember correctly. So he's had a price hit to that. He's lost about 80K since that point in time. Yes, Danger coming back and being in the center bounce rotations has hurt him a little bit. But I think if there's anyone that's cheaper than Josh Kelly that has the potential to go 110 plus on the way home, he's probably the standout. And the fact that he's 70K cheaper, and you could probably, you know, let's say there's someone with Dusty as well, you can invest that back into Dusty to go up and get someone like Jordan Ngoi or someone like that. Again, just kind of strengthens that. That would be a really, really low risk move for me as well if I'm in that sort of position.
I think 1v1, I think Parker will outscore him with those fixtures on the way home.
Yep.
However, if you have more than one trade, just that extra cash. Just, he's so cheap. Like 480 is just such a kind price that
that's a huge
it makes
difference.
It all worth it. It's like, massive. It, so like if would, you, yeah.
If you're saying it's 50-50 that Parker, or 60-40, whatever, that Parker outscores Guthrie on the way home, let's say they're even, just for argument's sake, that 70K is worth, I don't know what, 15 points? Let's just argue that you could reinvest onto someone that gets you from Dusty. You might be picking up a Taron Thomas that's going to average 90. Suddenly you're picking someone that might go closer to 100 in that sort of range on the way home. So it's just, I think if they can break even with each other, having the extra money is, if you're in the situation of being able to use it, obviously, if you've only got one trade, it doesn't matter. That I would lean that way without a shadow of a doubt.
So if Jelly is out, Is the move just to hold him because we assume he'll be back next week, or is it one of those JDRs always lie and we may as well just get ahead of it and trade him out, or he'll be impacted with his injury for the rest of the season and get ahead of it? Or what's your plan with Jelly, you know, if, let's say, worst case scenario, he's ruled out this week?
I fully expect Jelly to be fit. They've come out and said, even as early as 2 days after the injury, that they've
that
done
scans.
That
wasn't the question, Jesus.
He's going to be fine. let me finish. But the problem is they have the last game of the round. So if he's a late out, you know, you're already committed. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, you're stuck just running the gauntlet with him. So if he's named, I would just be holding. And Bramble's been going okay. We should mention Bramble's been having a lot of kickouts. He's been on kickout duty since Scrimshaw and Hardwick have been out. They're both slated to return this week. That may impact his kickout duties, therefore impacting his floor. So we may see a little bit more variability. We may see a 60 or 70. As long as we're aware of that, that's okay. As long as you've got cover and, you know, Jelly's named, I'll be holding him. If he's out and you've got cover, I would still be holding him because I fully expect him to be back this week. It was a bit of a tweak. He obviously got subbed. But if you actually watch the footage, he didn't have a whole lot of weight going through it. It just looked like one of those ankles that you just briefly roll around in the grass for a little bit in pain. About 10 minutes later, you get it restrapped, maybe a cortisone or something like that, and you come back out. You know, it just seemed like one of those. And to hear that he's recovered so well, I honestly believe he, you know, GWS are always like, he could be, he couldn't be. They've come out and said, he's cleared to play. You know, as long as he feels good, we're going to pick him. You know, like that's about as confident as you can get from GWS. And so even if he's a laid out, I expect it's only 1 week. It didn't look like a bad ankle to me. It wasn't the motion of a syndesmosis. It's not typically... It didn't get trapped under someone and be everted. It was an inversion, just your typical rolled ankle when you think about it. So if it's a one-weeker and you've got cover, it seems really simple to hold because we've got 4 more weeks where you're going to love having a Josh Kelly that's playing as opposed to bringing a Newcomb on field.
I think with all of these injuries, so even Langford as well as Kelly, even if they're out for 1 week, we just don't know what's coming around the corner
exactly.
With all this COVID situation and madness that's happening. I think we've learnt now that it's, you know, better the devil you know. And we'll cop it, and then we'll trade with, you know, when other things occur potentially a bit later. So all these 1 weekers, you know, even Green, if he's out for 1 week as well, which we expect based on the COVID protocol, same sort of boat. If it's 1 week, it's something that I would probably just cop. You're more likely that's going to happen again anyway, and we'll need that trade later. So there'll be other times to recoup some points, I think. So yeah, for me, it's all of these ones. It's a pretty straightforward hold. Jeez, was there any other major topics to discuss, or do you want to jump into potentially some rookies?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was going to walk into. I actually picked up Sam Durham as a loophole defensive mid a few weeks ago, confident that he would get a game for Essendon. For those that didn't see the game, he played on the far wing. He's got some really good tank about him, really good attack on the ball. And that slight bit of maturity that you get from someone that's been in a good system for a few years, there was just a couple switches where you saw him lower the eyes into the 50, even though he had only 2 or 3 seconds free, and he waited until the last second to guarantee he was going to hit his target, steady himself, kick the ball just before he got run down. It was really, really positive to see that he's not just banging it on his boot in, you know, pure game one nerves and just a sheer panic. He took the moment, recognized he had the time, delivered the ball into the forward 50. I think that was one of the times he hit Stringer as well. So I really, really like him. That 49 that he had doesn't include the set shot directly in front for 15 metres out where he hit the post. That's a 60 gone begging in my eyes, to be honest, from him. So I honestly don't mind him if he's someone that you're looking at a bargain basement. In terms of the Pies, they've announced a couple this week. Pistol, I think we've got Ginny Weasley Van is going to be coming in for them this week, mid forward. He's not bargain basement, though, is he?
He's
bargain basement. Okay, yeah. Yep. And who's the second debutant that you've got?
Tuhil Anton Tahil, yeah, he's a
defender,
123k, but he is a utility type player. I imagine he will be trying to replace probably someone like Magin.
Mm-hmm. You
in
imagine?
The Pies, ha! Yeah, in Pies backline. He's listed as a forward in Supercoach.
No, nothing.
But I don't think he's going to be a very good scorer.
Yep.
Same as Ginnivan. I think Ginnivan is a small forward. You know, we saw what happened. McCreary has been excellent for Pies this season. I don't know if he's up to McCreary's level, but McCreary was still only scoring, you know, 50s. So I'm not expecting the world. I think if you need a midfield option, 102k, Connor West from West Coast was excellent. He had 13 contested possessions and 19 touches for the game, which is a great debut. He looked really solid, and he's only scored 71, but he has 80 plus scores in him this season, especially with Shuey out for 2 weeks. So I like the look of him. If you're going to be picking a player, I think Durham and him are easily the two options that we probably should be considering this week, if you even have trades to get a downgrade. So might not be relevant to many people.
Yeah, sure. And just to touch on the big news, because we haven't really done it in one segment. Jelly's ankle looks fine. Dusty out for the season. Matty Flynn is out with his shoulder for the season for the Giants, which may mean once Briggs comes out of isolation, he's going to get a few more games towards the back end of the year. That's really going to help my forward line, Pistol, which is good. Whitfield's concussion is going great. If he has no more symptoms, he's going to be available for this weekend. Highmore out for the Saints for this week. I don't actually have a time frame on that, but he's missing this week, Pistol. Mills and Green set to miss this week under COVID restrictions again, but will be available next week. Dunkley definitely out this week. I'm not entirely sure in terms of fixture what it's looking like, but he could potentially be out next week because he only went into isolation as the week began, so he's probably going to miss 2 weekends. This one's just primarily for me, Pistol. No one else, because I'm the only one that owns him. That's Sean Darcy coming back in for another 150. He's 50-50, so I'm getting excited about that. And Langford only looks like missing this one additional week after doing quite well at training this week as well in Noosa, Pistol. So those that are holding him, it's probably going to be just the one more week, mate. Should we get? We got any time for some podcast questions, or should we get into some captaincies and get out of here?
No, I think most of the questions were all about Dusty replacements, so I think we've gone through pretty much all of them.
Yeah,
I think those that are discussing league and non-league gameplay for Dusty replacements, the order still remains largely the same. I think maybe if you wanted to punt on Buddy over Hawkins, I think that's reasonable, given Buddy might be chasing down the 1,000th goal in the last round or two, and that might mean some big Supercoach points or some easy handoffs to him. So that probably would be the only thing that changes out of my previous thoughts in that segment. So, Chizo, take us through some of your captaincy choices. You've been hitting them on the head perfectly the last couple of weeks. I've been suffering quite a few misses, so I'm interested to get your thoughts first on this round.
I think at this stage of the season, it's hard to not have at least two goes and get some of the goes 120+.
Just rub it in. It's been like 3 weeks in a row I've had captaincy misses.
I really like the look of Sammy Walsh on the Saturday afternoon game. Against North, I expect them to give a little bit of attention to him, but I think what we've seen in the last fortnight particularly is he's just not run out of puff. He is really, really hitting his straps and putting Carlton on his back, so I love him for a VC. If you don't have Sam Walsh, I don't necessarily hate the idea of maybe a Lions or even potentially a Steel on the Saturday afternoon leading into someone which might be the more obvious kind of options in the Bonts and the McRae's, the Olivers. I don't, as I've said previously, I'm not trusting Gawn at this stage of the season. I think it's a waste with the his recent kind of ruck share with Luke Jackson. So for those that have been looking at Max Gawn, not particularly keen on him just at the moment. In terms of VCs, do you disagree with anything like that?
No, I don't disagree with anything. I think that's all very reasonable. I think the only ones I might add to it is Tom Mitchell against Crows. Mitchell's hit a pretty decent vein of form at the moment. So, I mean, look, it's always hard to pick one of these players that might go well when you've got people like Jack Steele of 5-round average or 141.
Yeah.
Like, he's just an absolute beast at the moment. So I agree, yeah, Walsh, Steele, those players are just scoring tons for fun. So I really like the looks of them. I think if you wanted to go for a more of a punt, maybe Zorko against Gold Coast. He's got, you know, a solid record against them. And, you know, I feel like that's a game that he can definitely step up for. But at this stage of the season, kind of think, why? Even like Parrish and Zeret, I understand it's against GWS. What if they get the DeBoer tag? Is it worth the risk? Probably not. So, yeah, just some of the other ones. Walsh, Steele, they're the big, big ones. Any one of the Bulldogs or Melbourne players in close games, scaling's a lot on the line. Whoever you think's going to win, if you think Melbourne are going to win, pop it on Oliver. If you think Dogs are going to win, pop it on Bont or McRae, because in those close games, they're probably going to be scaled heavily as well. So you can get some really high scores from there. It's a... Tough one, but yeah, I think there's some good matchups this round.
I think the good captaincy options, so not just the VC, but the C options, all come on the Saturday. Like, if I'm looking at the Sunday, I've got Sydney versus Freo. Maybe Darcy if he comes back, if you game, Chizo. On the Sunday, you've got the likes of Danger, who's been in a rich game of form, but he doesn't have the ceiling that we've seen in previous years. Richmond don't have anyone.
He's got like 180, dude.
I immediately rescind that. I was just looking at that one. Chizo, can you edit that out? So he might be an option. So he's the first probably Sunday option. No one from Richmond. Essendon versus GWS really does scare me a little bit in terms of, you know, what if you pick wrong and Parrish gets the tag but Zeret doesn't, and then Zeret gets the tag but Parrish doesn't. You have the potential to guess wrong or be only have the Essendon player that ends up getting the attention. I would definitely, this is what I'm trying to say, I think the VC and C is going to be organized early on in the weekend. Even if it's someone like Grundy on the Friday night against Port's also going to be a pretty good selection. So I don't hate that either, particularly because it's in Victoria at Marvel Stadium, even though it's technically an away game for the Pies. I don't necessarily, you know, he score 88 on the weekend pistol. That's not Grundy, you know.
He'll bounce back.
He'll bounce back. That's pretty safe. I think my strategy is going to be Walsh into Steele and or like an Oliver at this part of the
I don't think I have loopholes at all. Like, I'm looking at my bench. I'm like, okay, so both my forward rookies are playing, both my back rookies are playing, most of my midfield rookies, but my Collingwood ones play on Friday night, and my only other one is Edwards from North Melbourne, so I might have to VC
that's
Houston.
That's very important to mention.
Grundy.
I wouldn't be trusting someone like Newcomb because he was obviously just a sub. If you have Kieran Briggs, then he would be super handy this week. Can you imagine... if he wasn't in isolation this week, I've been kissed on it again.
You're in a rare form of luck at the moment. Yeah. No, it's good.
Very
good to
comprehensive.
See, I'm excited to see where you end up after this round, given you avoided all of the bullets like the Matrix flying at you.
Oh yeah, all of the bullets. Kelly lost his leg, and so did Darcy.
Yeah, that's okay. they didn't kill. They were just a flesh wound.
Nah, fair enough. Hey, mate, why don't we just shout out our Twitters? I'll do mine. We don't need to shout it anymore. Chizo_DRC if you want to hit me up for some Supercoach questions. Pistol?
You can find me at Chizo_DRC. Direct all questions there.
Pistol_DRC. JB, the man at JB_DRC. The main one is Super... What? No, it's not. It's Dr_SC. It's a Wednesday, mate. What do you expect? We're always primed for Monday. That's game night, and it's a Wednesday, and this is coming out. So, hey, Pistol, and just lastly, just want to give a shout-out to Supercoach Mama M. Congratulations on making it to first overall in Supercoach. That's a epic achievement, and even if you don't take home the chocolates, that's something that you'll be able to take with you forever. So congratulations on that, and to all the other lovely patrons that are chasing you close behind. I'm sure that they're patting you on the back. But their fingers are crossed behind their own back, thinking, I just wish I can slide in into number one spot as well. So congratulations. Pistol, thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate this podcast as it gets later into the season. Just looking back and how the year's gone, it's just been fantastic. Good luck, everyone. Don't get discouraged if some of these bullets do hit your side. We're all working around them with the same amount of flexibility. So keep the chin up, keep enjoying the game, And just remember that it is just a game. And just make sure you treat it as such. It's not the end of the world. We'll talk to you again at the end of the round.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.